Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the appointed gospel for this Palm Sunday or Sunday of the Passion. We look in the previous chapter that we did not read during the other time to hear of Jesus' time in Gethsemane. He said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Dear friends in Christ, we use that expression so often that we forget its context a lot of times. We'll talk about it in the terms of sports. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. To be speaking about somebody who really wants to do well, but just doesn't have the physique. It's the 100-pound kid who really wants to play on the defensive line. Or it's the 5-footer who really would like to be a major college point guard. It's the so-called 98-pound weakling who is tired of bullies pushing him around. But whoever it is in that context, it's not the person that Jesus is talking about. After all, he's speaking to Peter. And if there's ever a manly man mentioned in Scripture, it's got to be him. Rough and tumble, well-muscled from years of throwing out and pulling in his nets. He didn't need a weight room to make him strong. He needed his dad to tell him, "Go out and catch me some fish, boy." He'd been doing that for years. He may have gotten into fights. It wasn't uncommon. He was even armed as Jesus was praying in the garden. No, what Jesus is talking about here is truly the difference between the sinner and the saint. Watch and pray, he told Peter. Why? So that you can avoid temptation, so that you can avoid destruction at the hand of the devil. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This was more than just a feeling that he wanted to follow Jesus, that James and John likewise wanted to go wherever Jesus led them, but this also was being moved by the Holy Spirit. Because nobody would have been moved to follow Jesus up and down Galilee and Judea and Samaria unless the Spirit had led them. And certainly not to come out here in the middle of the night. But they had no idea that Jesus' death was imminent. Maybe then, if he had given them just that little bit more news. But wait, hadn't he? After all, he had told them at the supper that he was done eating until he entered into his kingdom. No, they heard what they wanted to hear. And the Spirit had not yet prepared their ears to hear, let them hear what God wanted them to hear. But they were moved to come along this far. They were enthusiastic. They had been probably singing right along with the rest of the crowd, the Hosannas and the King of the Jews and the Son of David and everything else that must have been roared out just a few days before. It's easy to be willing when everybody's cheering for you. I mean, sometimes in college sports, isn't it the walk-on bench warmer who gets the most cheers when he finally comes into the game? Especially if he makes his first basket of the season. But Jesus wasn't a lovable loser who was finally getting into the game. Jesus was a winner. It seemed like the whole nation was on his side, with the exception of a small group of jealous men. But those who were on his side could not save him, because his Father was handing him over to be judged and to be put to death. The Jews judged him a blasphemer, a false prophet, a liar from the devil. The Romans figured he wasn't really that much of a troublemaker, but if somebody else thought he was a troublemaker, that was trouble enough. One hated, another couldn't care, but had to do something to keep peace. And then those who were actually following him. Willing spirits, but weak flesh. When Peter was armed, he was dangerous. Remember, he's the one who jumped up and cut off the servant of the high priest's ear. But when Jesus said, quit fighting, he was as big a coward as any of us, and he cut and ran just like that. We have willing spirits. If we did not, we would not confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We would not say the apostles and the Nicene Creed. We would not bow our heads to hear the words of forgiveness that we do so often from Christ. We would not willingly come forth to receive his body and blood. We would never do good for others. We would never bend knee, fold hands, or bow head in prayer. We would wander through life as blissfully unaware as anybody else. But God has given us a willing spirit. The problem is that, as the psalmist says, that willing, that right spirit needs to be renewed. Because as quickly as the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, comes to refresh us, seems like our own thoughts, the worries of the world, and the temptations of the devil all start creeping in. The flesh is immediately at war with the forgiveness and new life brought by the Spirit. We will to do great things. And the only thing we know for sure is that we will not do all of those things that we will. It comes in things earthly, promises made to God in front of others. It comes in things spiritual. We might wrestle with God and pray that he would let us keep all of our New Year's resolutions. But it seems like no one ever does unless they resolve not to keep their New Year's resolution. We may resolve to give more in our offerings, to find another charity that could use just a little bit more help, to be a little bit more kind and loving, to be a bit more attentive. But even if we write a small to-do list and will to do it, we will fall down on our faces again and again and again. Because our flesh remains weak. It's not just that we can't drag ourselves out of bed on a Sunday morning because we stayed out too late on Saturday night, or because we're sick, or because we have a lot of problems that are depressing us and we just can't get moving. Because our old sinful selves take that information, take that evidence, and use it to wear us out, to slow us down, to get us to do nothing rather than anything that is good. And as long as we carry that weak and frail spirit within us, as long as our flesh does not have the strength for the day, then we will never, ever do good in God's sight. But with each forgiveness that we receive a refreshment, a renewed spirit of our own selves that comes from the Holy Spirit of God, a spirit of grace and forgiveness and truth and life, a spirit that allows us to pray our Father and mean it, and to ask him for those blessings and really desire them. And to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and see how horrible our sins really are. See that they were what put the thorn holes in Jesus' brow and the nail holes in his hands and his feet and the spear hole in his side. That it was our lies, our half-truths, our not doing what we should and doing what we shouldn't that took the whip in hand and tore the flesh off of Christ's back. Because if there is one thing our flesh is strong in, it is sin. And so, as we receive this willing spirit to do what is right, we also receive a spirit that weakens our sinful flesh, that drowns the old Adam in our baptism, that takes us back to the font, back to the Jordan River, back to the cross, and destroys our sins. And the guilt, and the shame, and the final judgment that we would otherwise face. because God is merciful to us sinners. The Son of David, the King of the Jews, has had mercy on us. People used to cry that out, have mercy, to their kings, so that they would throw a little bit of gold or a jewel or two into the crowd as they passed through to show just how wonderful they were. Jesus didn't have the money to enrich the crowd as he came in. And so he gave them his life instead. He gave them the blood of his own veins poured out down his back and front, smeared on the cross and dripped on the ground of Golgotha. He gave a treasure beyond human estimation, as we learned in our catechism, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Did we receive the adoption as his children? Did we receive the right to be called the sons of God? Did we receive in baptism, through the work of the Holy Spirit, faith that allows us to have a willing spirit? A spirit that reaches farther, digs deeper, muscles in, digs down. Sometimes it's not anything glamorous. In fact, usually it's just the grunt work, the dirty work that nobody else wants to do. But when we willingly do it, we are following in the path of our Savior. God, be merciful to us sinners. God, crucify again our weak and sinful flesh. Put to death our sins and banish our guilt. And renew within us a right spirit. Give us clean hearts. Give us voices that praise you honestly and with integrity and do not speak as hypocrites. That's what we need. That's what we pray for every time we say Our Father. Every time we say Amen to the words of forgiveness and the absolution. Every time we allow Jesus' body and blood to enter our mouths and our bodies. We're like the man who wanted his son healed and was battling. And Jesus said, you know, if there's enough faith here, this is going to happen. And with him, we've got to say, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief. We cannot believe without a willing spirit, but we cannot sustain belief and do the good works without a renewal of that spirit. And if we need an example, we can follow Jesus, who willingly went into Jerusalem so that they might take him prisoner and kill him. But more than an example, we take strength from him, because he is the manna for our time in this wilderness. He is the food delivered to us who are still in prison. He is the medicine. He is the healing. He is the help. Because his willing spirit grants us then, by grace through faith in him, also willing spirits to serve him, to offer our offerings, to sing our praises, and to love one another as God has loved us. Hosanna, save us now, we pray, O Lord. Amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you steadfast in this same Savior, King Christ Jesus. Amen.